This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You want to hit us up on the Twitch, even the YouTube, or text us at 877-881-1053. It's National S'mores Day.
Oh.
So it's time for the combo platter. Give us a sports opinion, and then do you trick up your s'mores? And if so, how? I did not realize this was a thing until yesterday, and Corey told me it was a thing. So 877-881-1053. Now remember, need that sports opinion or else I can't get to your s'mores opinion. That's just how it's going to work.
All right, I'm looking at this, by the way. 1927 is the general idea of when the s'more was created.
Ooh, by Steve S'more?
No, it was called, a book, Tramping and Trailing with the Girl Scouts.
Uh-huh. That does not mean what you think it means.
What does tramping mean?
It's like, you know, you're hitting the road like a hobo with their pack and stuff.
Oh, sleeping around.
With their bindle?
Yeah. Yes!
All right, so that was, evidently the original recipe calls for 16 graham crackers, 16 marshmallows, and 8 bars of chocolate broken into two. What?
That's like being fast.
First, you take the cracker, then you take the mallow. Like, that's what he says in Sandlot. You know, watch the Sandlot, dude. Come on, man. S'mores are great. But I did find yesterday, Kevin, people are putting bacon on s'mores.
Oh, pardon?
They're putting caramel syrup on s'mores and peanut butter dollops. Mike, it is not the s'more that we knew of old, that it was just a very simple graham cracker, marshmallow, and then the chocolate bars.
I'm not talking in this segment if we're going to keep calling it a marshmallow.
I don't support that either, Mike. Don't look at me. Look
You're
at him.
You're being shamed, Corey.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Y'all talk however you want.
No, then. I mean, I don't. Man, are we in a spot now where Mike won't talk if you say marshmallow, but if you say marshmallow, Corey's like, you know what? Then I'm out on this segment. No. That's not going
to
help.
I was trying to find the recipes that I had from yesterday because it was a couple of years ago, we went to an RV park. Kevin said, hey, they have s'mores. They can make s'mores right here. And I was like, I've never made one before. The lady showed us how to make them.
Yeah.
I ate it, and I was like, okay, that tastes interesting. It's good. But it wasn't the life changer I expected it to be.
Now, I'm going to assert this, if you don't mind.
Okay.
My sports opinion is I have become far more intrigued by what is happening at Oklahoma now because of all of the outside people weighing in. I really
head coach Brett Venables was very adamant yesterday.
So I just thought this was a simple thing of, hey, he said a word that he shouldn't have said. Got to move on. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's not terribly surprising. But then you had like all these players from Oklahoma come out, including Joe Mixon was like, no. Now, Cale Gundy's daughter has made this sound like it's some sort of conspiracy theory. So Kat Gundy jumped in on this and said, quote, interesting you told your players to keep their mouths shut about what really happened and their heads down. The truth will always come to fruition. It's only a matter of time. What does that mean? Is that an insinuation that was actually somebody else that said the negative word? Was it actually him who said, say it, say the word? Like, I have so many more questions now about what's happening here and what the potential conspiracy theory is here at Oklahoma. My s'mores opinion is that while not quite the same, well, I don't trick up my s'mores, but I'm going to now. I didn't know that was a thing before yesterday, but
how are you
going to
trick them?
That bacon sounds pretty amazing.
Okay.
Although, oh, you know what? That's not true because somebody told me about this one time. I did replace the chocolate with the peanut butter cup. Thought it was pretty top notch. And the
Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the microwave does not replicate it, but it can get kind of close.
Do you char your marshmallow? How cooked do you cook your marshmallow?
I do think there is some charm to the char, and then it's all gooey on the inside. And I do think that's
a little delicate balance.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure out how to get it hot enough without it being completely like fall off the stick melty,
yeah,
but also not firm in the middle. It's a very delicate balance.
I will say the best marshmallows I've ever made are in Colorado by far.
Is it the altitude? The altitude makes it better?
I don't know. But I mean, I can perfectly do a marshmallow in Colorado.
Okay. You heard what he said.
I did hear what he said. Go ahead.
From the 940, George Pickens in Pittsburgh, that's a wide receiver out there, will win Rookie of the Year.
Is that Carl Pickens' son?
I
think it might be. Remember him?
Grandson of T-Boone Pickens.
I think I'm actually making a correct statement.
Yeah, okay. I don't know that to
but
be
you,
the
do
case.
You remember him in the 90s as a wide receiver for, I believe, the Bengals?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, my dad
but
had
I
him
don't
on his
know that
team.
To be the case. And they said they trick up their s'mores by putting honey on the s'mores during National S'mores Day. And
doesn't say anything about his family. Honey. Interesting. Okay, I can get down with
what
that.
What is the... Okay, quick question about that. Here's my next question for people who trick it up. Do you replace or just add? So, like, for example, when we did the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, we replaced the Hershey's chocolate bar with the Reese's. But I'm curious, do you, like, replace any part of the marshmallow with the honey, or do you just add the honey? Do you just add the bacon? Like, that's my next question.
Okay.
Is do you take away or just add?
All right, then I will continue to add to this conversation.
Okay.
Because my opinion is that the Buccaneers are going to get trampled in game one against the Cowboys if their offensive line isn't healthy. That defensive front for the Cowboys.
Let me be excited, Mike.
Is so good.
Sure.
That defensive front for the Cowboys, I'm really excited about. If you got Micah on the edge, I'm thinking that Tom Brady is going to be pressured all day. And they've lost, I think, their third offensive lineman, Robert Hainsey, just got carted off the field too. And Russell Gage left practice early. So whatever they're doing physically, they were already.
Obviously, Wirfs had an
issue. They had a knee injury to Jensen, like you said about Wirfs. They lost one guy to free agency. They had another guy just suddenly retire. So I think that their offensive line has some work to do.
Before you naysay this, Mike, the ESPN Football Power Index right now, 37.6% for Tampa Bay, 61.9% for Dallas, and 0.5% that it'll be a tie.
Okay,
why
I like
play
this.
The game?
And
by the way,
spirit.
I've looked up Carl Pickens. I don't see that is his son, but these are interesting tidbits on Carl Pickens. Did you know he was a Dallas Cowboy for about 7 weeks?
Everybody's a Cowboy at heart.
April 5th, 2001, Pickens signs as a free agent. He announces his retirement on May 30th. So he actually, I don't remember this at all because he didn't play
either.
A game with them, but he actually signed with the Cowboys, and I don't know why on May 30th, 7 weeks later, he's like, I don't want to do this. Maybe Quincy Carter threw him a pass and he said, I quit.
Oh my God.
Then how about this? There's a thing called the Carl Pickens clause.
Yeah.
What?
In contracts. This was a loyalty clause that the Bengals created and added to Pickens' contract, which would cause him to forfeit all or some of his signing bonus if he insulted the organization in public. This clause has since been used in contracts with other players.
That's how you know you're running a great organization, if you legally, contractually have to get people to not say bad things about
Man,
you.
That's a good point.
So I've on this list of amazing s'mores, I did find the Samoa cookie s'more.
Oh, my God.
So it's a caramel drizzle with the coconut shavings, and then you put the marshmallow on. And then you add the chocolate on top, and that's how you rock with that one. So that's an option.
Mike's done.
There's also the Kit Kat s'more. And then somebody has a chocolate-covered potato chip s'more, so that sounds awesome, too.
I do not believe I've ever had a chocolate-covered potato chip, I did discover.
You should.
Okay.
They're very good.
I mean, it's just sweet and salty that we're doing there, right?
Yep.
Ooh, I do like that. I have discovered the mini Kit Kats, and I think they're delicious in the bag, and they're already unwrapped and everything like that. So I'm intrigued.
Have you had the blueberry muffin Kit Kat yet?
Wait, you mentioned they're already unwrapped like that was a huge barrier to you consuming Kit Kats prior.
Well, yeah, man. Do you know the speed in which I can up the intake? Which is clearly a bad thing.
It takes too long sometimes to open it. And then take a bite out of all three of them, or three of the four, right in the middle, because that's how you're supposed to eat.
Wish I had more hands so I could open up more, you know, more wrappers.
That's what your primary objective would be when
give
you
them
more
Kit
hands.
Kats four thumbs down.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Rick James.
You know exactly what that's from. Is from the 817. Mike is boycotting the rest of this segment because of the pronunciation. From the 817, Cowboys won the NFC East and one playoff game this year. I used dark chocolate in my s'mores. Ooh, I've also never tried dark chocolate. All right. I mean,
like
I've
ever in the history of chocolate?
I've had dark chocolate. I mean, the dark chocolate s'more. I've definitely had dark chocolate. It's delicious.
Does anybody like dark chocolate?
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's solid. I can't stay away. I got to do this.
I need
don't
it with salt.
Say that. It's driving. That hurts my ears.
I need it with, like, salt. Salt, dark chocolate works. But otherwise, like, Carter's like, nope. If he sees it's dark chocolate, immediately he's like, I'm out. Right. And he loves sweets.
Here's my sports take. You ready?
Yep. Okay.
My sports take is the same that I heard on NFL Network.
Oh.
Ready?
All right, let's do it.
Here it is.
This is perfect of my exasperation with the Dallas Cowboys and their coverage on this show and others. We start the show with just a Mad Libs generic quote from Jerry Jones that there's nothing about that quote that identifies it as this team. It could be any team for the last 15, 20 years, the Dallas Cowboys. And so could this Cowboys team. You have a very famous quarterback who's very good, but like not one of the great ones. You have a famous wide receiver with a really cool name. You got a couple defensive stars, a head coach who gets pecked at. And the owner who's just talking and talking and talking. And this is why it bothers me, because 32 teams in camp, and we're like, can the Cowboys, I guess, will they? Because what always grinds my gears is this BS sentiment that is attached to the Dallas Cowboys about, we're all about Super Bowls. No, you're not. The last time they were in a Super Bowl, Diana Ross was the halftime show. Hmm. The last time the Cowboys were in a Super Bowl, on the radio call was Jack Buck and Hank Stram. That's the last time. They played the Steelers in that Super Bowl. Since then, the Steelers, who are about Super Bowls, have been back three times. In that time, the Cowboys, the Super Bowl Cowboys, have won three total playoff games.
See? Facts.
Relevant disclaimer, not to say that he's necessarily like saying that from a biased place. However, isn't he an Eagles fan?
Well,
and then he was a Bills fan during the draft.
Let's go further into the fraud that is Kyle Brandt.
Oh, hey, this is my guy. Kyle Brandt and I are brothers.
Okay, fair enough. But Kyle Brandt, if you're going to do this, stick with it. Did you know that Kyle Brandt gave this exact same speech in March of 2022? Mm-hmm. Did you know in the ensuing summer, he said it's a lock that the Dallas Cowboys will win the NFC East. Did you know that also this summer he went on to say that he believes that Dak Prescott can win the MVP and lead the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl? If you are going to say you're not going to cover the Cowboys, don't give the exact same speech 6 months earlier and then get mad that it didn't work and use the Cowboys' clout to talk about how you're never going to talk about the Cowboys.
Okay, from the 813, apparently he's a Bears fan. But I've seen him linked to the Eagles, but I guess that might be wrong.
I'm not disputing some of the things that he says.
To stick with everything that he said is how I feel about this organization that I used to love, that my grandpa used to have season tickets to from day one of the Dallas Cowboys till he physically could not go to games anymore in 1999.
Oh, I hear you.
The Bassick family loved the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe still some of the Dallas Cowboys have love, or you know, maybe my family still has love for the Dallas Cowboys, but damn it, Jerry, why can't you figure this out?
Build a winner.
Why don't you care?
Build a winner.
That's a fair question.
Why don't you care? I get it. I guess why you don't care. You have three Super Bowl championships. You have the gold jacket. You're in the Hall of Fame. Your team's worth $10 billion something dollars. You don't need to win anymore. It's not fun to sacrifice, so you don't. But it just stinks that we're getting ready for a season. And I do think this, I'll give you my prediction. I think they can go 10-7. I think they're going to be right on that cusp of the playoffs. If they make it, great. And then they're going to get just hammered where you just have to take it and take it and take it because you're not good enough to compete with like the top four teams in the NFC, but you are good enough to make the playoffs, especially because of this division. And so it's just like, all right, here we go. Let's do it, Cowboys. And it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be fun. There's going to be storylines every week. Jerry's going to entertain the living crap out of us with the crazy ass things that he says on this station. And then we're going to get to January. Maybe we play in a playoff game. Maybe we don't. We're going to lose. And then we do it all over again.
From the 972.
What do you?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I do just regular. They taste good.
In Denver.
There you go. In Denver. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. From the 972, fantasy football is getting boring, and they put extra marshmallows on their s'mores.
What's boring about it?
Yeah, I got to text my friend Jericho and see if he's still doing the daily thing.
I wonder, like, I think when you evaluate how you watch the games when you're playing fantasy football, that can make it so that you're like, huh, I'm not enjoying myself nearly as much as I would be if I wasn't.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I'm miserable. I'm miserable at times watching football whenever I'm playing fantasy football.
I can see
until
that.
Finally my receiver goes off for 40 points.
And then you can enjoy the game.
But when Jonathan Taylor is going off against you, you're like, football's dumb.
Yeah, come on, throw him the ball. Come on.
Why don't you join 50-50 leagues in like DraftKings and FanDuel? Then you don't have to just be married to Jonathan Taylor or against Jonathan Taylor. You're actually just married to, if I can be better than 50% of these people, I can win money.
Because it's not about winning
right
money
now,
as much as it is
I can win money.
Talking trash to my 9 best friends.
From the hurtful. From the 817, Cowboys defense will be a top 7 defense this year, and they use Reese's peanut butter cups instead of Hershey's. Man, that seems to be the most popular way that people are tricking up their s'mores. However, we also get this.
That sound better.
From the 903, Parsons will have as many sacks as Diggs does interceptions. 12. And Reese's peanut butter cups and grape jelly on the s'more. What?
Grape jelly.
Also, we're not saying that Parsons is going to have more sacks than
12? He just said Diggs is going to have 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
I'll take it? Hell yeah.
Sure.
Anthony Brown isn't going to allow a completion this year.
Oh, yeah.
I seen him in training
camp. And Mike, to counter you from the 214, y'all wrong. This year is going to be different. In your face, Mike. Deal with it.
I could give you a chart for all the years I thought it was going to be different. I really...
Yeah, but this is the real different year.
Okay. Uh-huh. Look, I really, really
thank
hope
God we're in
right.
this division. Just every Cowboy fan, just thank God every day that the Giants, the Commanders, and the Eagles do run a pretty decent organization, but just thank God that we're in this division for the rest of our lives.
I got a couple of quick ones for you. From the 903, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since I've been alive and probably won't. Starbursts instead of marshmallows.
Nonsense.
All right.
What are you doing right
now? I'd rather hear somebody say marshmallow.
I also did not realize that dark chocolate was so divisive.
We gotta get out of this segment.
You're right.
Mallow ended it. Just stop talking and tease what's next.
Real quick, back-to-back text. No. Dark chocolate is super healthy for you. Then from the 903, dark chocolate is for weirdos. I did not know it was so divisive.
I'll be that. That's fine.
Coming up next, it's almost college football time. What are the storylines to watch and which team is most likely to disappoint? We'll say that and all the words correctly next right here on The Fan. K&C Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time, or is it time, to talk some college football. What are the storylines to watch and which team is most likely to disappoint? 877-881-1053.
I guess the most compelling storyline definitely for me is UT. And that's not typical, but I want to
first place vote.
I want to know what their by Nick Saban probably. I want to know what their quarterback situation is going to be, cuz Card definitely is a viable option, but Ewers is not there for nothing.
Sure.
And if everybody's like,
hey, you idiots don't know what you're talking about. Arch Manning's not going to start for 2 years. Yeah. So Ewers isn't going to start this year? Yeah. Like, that's what's going to happen? So
it's all going to work.
I think UT is a very compelling story. And will they take a step up when they actually do go into the SEC? Now, that, I don't know if that bears anything this year. But whenever they, because A&M definitely did, like, the competitiveness level of what you guys had.
Sure.
For sure, whenever the SEC was in place, it was like, oh, I can play in the SEC. So I think UT definitely does offer some very interesting storylines this year.
As much as I hate to say part of this and love to say the other part of it, I really do think two of the teams most likely to disappoint are Texas and Texas A&M.
Because the hype level for A&M is too high?
Yeah, I mean, look. Texas A&M, they're ranked 7th in the country. They just had the greatest recruiting class in the history of football recruiting. And
the head coach just did a hit 'em up parody during media. Actually, it wasn't even during media days. It was when he called his own press conference to address Nick Saban. And then at media days tried to play it down like he didn't say what we heard him say.
Yeah. And so, like, that's concerning to me. And then your third game and, you know, maybe your first real game is you host a top 20 team in Miami, and then you're looking at, you know, whether it's Ole Miss or Mississippi State. Some people think that perhaps that, I think it's Ole Miss, that some people think could be a problem. And then guess what? You have a road game against Alabama. You host Florida. Like, that schedule is freaking brutal. And I love Texas A&M, but you can count on Texas A&M to lose a game on you when the hype is there. Like, I still think about the 2000, I think it was 12 season, where I firmly believe Texas A&M was the best team in the country. But that was only after they lost two really early games and there was no more pressure on them, because you're like, well, you'll never be in the playoff. And then they just ran through everybody. But when the pressure is usually on, Texas A&M does not frequently rise to that level of pressure, which pains me to say. And then Texas, for the last decade or so, they have frequently been overrated and then frequently slid back into their comfortable zone of 7-5, as they are the Dallas Cowboys of college football.
So A&M kind of is in that zone that OU was always in for me, where they would get ranked really high. Number one, a lot of times, and I'm like, why are you doing this to us?
Yeah.
We're a number three at best. Why are you putting this team in that category? When it comes to, listen, Alabama's always going to be in that mix.
Sure.
They're always going to be competitive for it, and you're just a little shy of what Alabama and those kinds of teams are producing. So I was always like, why are you even saying that this year's the year for them? Because they're going to run through the Big 12, obviously, so it made everything look good.
Right.
But there was always that zone of, we're maybe a number four, and don't give us this high of a rating, because what's going to happen is they're going to lose a game at some point, and then everybody's going to be like, see, this is why they should have been number one. That's because they did it wrong in the first place.
Yeah, no, and I'm perfectly comfortable saying we're not Alabama, we're not Georgia, and we're like on the cusp of being in the top 10. I'm like, hey, that sounds pretty okay to me. Because then, like, if you lose to Miami, it's not a catastrophe. Because that game's like, oh, number 10 against number 14. You're like, oh, what could happen? But now it's going to end up being like number 6 against number 17. They're going to be like, oh my God, upset and blah, blah. Blah, blah. Now, Texas, unfortunately, we've seen this time and time and time again. And from the 972, Texas will beat Alabama in the regular season and win the Big 12 championship. No, they won't. Like, they won't.
Who do you like for the Big 12 championship this year?
I'm actually kind of curious about Baylor and Oklahoma
Dave
State.
Aranda's Baylor is fun, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, obviously, I'm not just going to discount Oklahoma. Like, I know what we were talking about, but, like, that doesn't discount their ability to win the Big 12. But I think you look at Baylor and Oklahoma State, and I kind of wonder, like, where they fit into the hierarchy of this as well. But I think Texas is, like, look, I get the optimism for Texas. Is Quinn Ewers is one of the most outstanding quarterback prospects we've seen in this generation. And then next year, Arch Manning might be even better, or at least they're equally, like, lauded. And so I get the anticipation for that, but you also have a head coach who's not proven to be a particularly good head coach. Like, he's an offensive guru, but he's not a good head coach.
He's definitely figured out how defenses like to play right now, and he's got the clamp on how to offensively do that. But he's got to get his defense up to par, too. What about Kansas for over 2.5? Like, would you take the over-under on that? Over 2.5, Reggie, for Kansas.
I think they could win three games.
Okay.
That's as far of the over that I'm willing to go.
So open against Tennessee Tech. They have at home against Duke. And what do you think about their chances against TCU this year?
You know what? They've actually, I think they've had Texas's number, honestly. Like, I don't know what the stat is, but I'd seen something as like, oh, Kansas has won 4 Division I games, and 3 of them are against Texas, or like whatever the case is. Kansas wins that weirdo game on you that you're like, how in the hell did that happen? And then a Big 12 team has to like reevaluate whether or not they want to keep football at the school because they just lost to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll barely.
Isn't it weird that they can always get somebody to go there that's really good at basketball, but they can't get anybody to go there that's good at football?
Yes. You know what's weird about that as well? What are we like 15, 20 years removed from there was a time when Kansas was number one in the country and in a BCS bowl game?
Yeah.
That might be
was that
the
Mangino
most
years?
Yes.
Oh, wait, Mark what? Mangino.
Yeah.
He was great at OU.
That was the guy that was really heavy.
Yeah, he sure was.
He was.
Yeah, he was a big man.
But they were number one in the country. That was
better,
a thing.
They're better than Michael Bishop. You know, at Kansas State.
Kansas State,
that's
right.
Remember from, was he from Blinn or Navarro?
Yes, no, he was from Blinn, and everyone at A&M was like, why the hell couldn't we get him to come here? And then that was the only Big 12 championship that we ever won was beating Kansas State.
Because of the grass. They were like, he was like, I want to walk on grass when I want to walk on grass. They were like, nope.
No, that is at the school.
Okay.
By the way, did you see that they shifted the Big Ten games? Now, it won't be immediate, but ESPN said big fat thumbs down because they're like, here's the deal. We're going to give you less games and we want more money in a couple of years. And the ESPN was like, yeah, no, we have the SEC. So, big fat pass on that.
Well, I mean, they've always had portions of the SEC.
No. You're right. But now they have exclusive access, I think, starting in 2024.
I mean, the Big Ten is, going to be a lot of inventory and everything. But I'm wondering how, like, if this will affect the Big Ten. Because we've seen a lot of, like, hubbub about what this might mean, the Big Ten not being involved with ESPN as a partner. Because we all know programming on ESPN somewhat skews based on what partnerships they have.
Oh, sure.
And especially with ESPN having such a large stake in the college football playoff, like the good teams are still going to be the good teams, but I wonder what happens with coverage and how that affects like the national conversations about Big Ten teams.
Did you see what happened last night?
No.
So last night, Big Ten decided to distribute their games to everybody else. They signed about a $1 billion deal to link up with CBS, NBC, and Fox. So they will distribute their games among those three networks. So to your point about viability and coverage, I realize outside of the ESPN family, but they're like, fine, we'll go to all of the other networks.
And they'll get their TV money. And good for them for getting all that TV money.
But you think they're not going to have a say in the room?
But we all know, like, as much as Fox Sports has been out here trying to contend, like, there isn't a contention with the big four letters when it comes to, like, shaping narratives on the sports landscape. So I'm really intrigued to see how that affects the Big Ten and, like, what their teams do. And maybe not Ohio State, who's probably always going to be in the conversation. But, you know, the teams that end up being in the teens and the 20 ranges of those rankings, like how does their appeal change based on like the tastemakers of ESPN not having incentive to talk about them?
The opening day of college football, Kevin, I don't know if like do you know what the slate is for this day? I have some really good games to read off for
you.
Is
it opening days or the second week? Because I know they have like a soft open before Labor Day with a bunch of
Probably not the soft open.
That one's junk.
Check this out. Cincinnati at Arkansas.
Okay.
Seems like two teams on the rise there. Oregon and Georgia at Atlanta.
Ooh.
Utah at Florida.
The hype on Utah is pretty high.
Notre Dame at Ohio State.
Holy moly.
Florida State versus LSU in New Orleans. That's on a Sunday. And then that's Brian Kelly's first game with the Tigers. So close to home. And then Clemson versus Georgia Tech, Atlanta. That's in Atlanta on Monday. So, like, that's a really good slate of opening.
That's Labor Day then, right? And then the week after that, Texas plays Alabama.
Yeah.
So, like, that the beginning of the schedule after the soft
opening.
Packed
it the right way, man.
Is pretty stacked. And by the way, just somebody's like, I think you're thinking of Kansas State, not Kansas. No, I swear, Kansas was in the Orange Bowl, and there was a minute where they, I think it was the Orange Bowl, and there was a minute where they were ranked number one in either the BCS or
2008.
In the polls. That was 14 years ago. That was 11-1. It happened. It happened.
They were 11-1, and that was Frank Beamer versus Mike Mangino. And was that Michael Vick? No.
No. Michael Vick would have been out.
Trying to figure out who the quarterback. It was Tyrod Taylor. So that's an interesting group there, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Early look at some college football right there.
Football.
Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy and the most important lesson of the day. Don't let your quarterback competition devolve into cannibalism.
Uh-oh.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Buttermilk biscuits. Can't find Cameron Rising. Go to Nuggetville High School. Maybe he did. I can't find it.
We start with the sad news. There's a couple of sad things and poor choices happening across former NFL players, specifically former NFL running backs. We have a DUI for Marshawn Lynch.
And he had done so well.
And then we have... Unfortunately, Frank Gore is getting charged with simple assault, which still feels like a weird way to say it because, like, it's stemming from an alleged domestic violence dispute. So it always feels weird when it's simple assault. Like, I get that that is the technical term for it and that's the correct term to use. But yeah, so Frank Gore facing a domestic violence issue stemming from simple assault, and then Marshawn Lynch facing an issue with a DUI. In Vegas. Mm. So those are your no joke zone stories right there. All right, let's bounce from that too. And Corey, we've been talking about this since, I don't know, the moment that Amazon picked up the football package is they will
Kay
starting
Adams.
Next year. What was that?
It was Kay Adams and how she's going to be involved there.
I mean, I feel like you bring that up.
Okay, yeah.
But that is still a relevant thing that's happening. Is next year they
still
will
don't think
start.
Your wife will be happy.
That is fair. They are going to start the Black Friday game. Now, remember, we talked about it this
it's on
year.
Sale. No, like it's half price.
I mean, it's free.
Off.
It's free.
As long as you have Amazon Prime.
Exactly. As long as you pay like
And what game is this?
$100 a year.
What game?
Oh, well, you don't know until the schedule is going to come out. But they're going to have the Black Friday game starting next year. Now, remember, they're not going to do it this year because that's when the World Cup will be going on, and I believe America and England play that day in the World Cup, and they're like, well, maybe this is not the best day to roll it out there. But next year, in addition to the usual slate of Thanksgiving games you get for the NFL, Amazon will run a Black Friday game, and the idea is that that will remain a staple of NFL programming going forward.
Man, I love that idea.
It's a great idea.
I am fascinated by the ads that'll be playing on that, because wouldn't you just presume a lot of them are the customers from Amazon that they're going to be kind of throwing in your face the deals you can get on Amazon Prime during Black Friday?
Oh, 100%.
And, like,
and don't forget, you can get a Dyson vacuum for $150. And you're like,
how?
And then you're on because they cut the prices. There was the retail margin just went down.
There's no way.
People are
that was just an example. That's an exact ad copy point.
You go straight to your app and start ordering stuff instead of watching the game. This is brilliant. This is a brilliant idea by them.
Hey, by the way, in our college segment, is it Jaquindon Jackson who's going to be the starting quarterback for Utah? Because he is from Duncanville.
Yeah, I think we got a little bit of a mix-up there, Jaquindon Jackson.
Awesome. Let's go from that
to... He blew out his senior year.
Ben McAdoo. He has sound advice for the Carolina Panthers when it comes to the quarterback competition. Are you ready? Here we go.
Throw complete passes.
Well, that is fair. Quote, we want to give everybody an opportunity to go out there and put their best football on tape, and we'll let it play out. All right, that's a reasonable thought to say. And
seems like a good approach.
He kept going from there.
Okay.
As long as we don't resort to cannibalism, right, I think we have a chance to get out of this pretty good. Fair.
So
I agree.
As long as we don't eat each other on the field?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of steps before.
What does he mean by that?
I remember watching that reality soccer movie where the plane crashed and they did have to eat people.
I think he meant, metaphorically, but it was an interesting turn of phrase.
I think they went for the hamstrings and the butts.
Actually, the meatiest part is right here on the inside of next to your thumb on the palm. My question, though, is, like, what are you dealing with here whenever you're saying cannibalism? Are you saying, like, as long as these guys don't tear each other apart from inside?
Infighting and, like, what you just said. It just was a weird way to say that. As long as we don't resort to cannibalism, I think we have a chance to get out of this pretty good. I will say I advocate no NFL teams resorting to cannibalism.
And I think he's wrong. If they don't resort to cannibalism and they manage to keep that straight, they still have Ben McAdoo as their offensive coordinator, so they're not going to turn out fine anyways.
And two bad quarterbacks. Like, they still have that to deal with. You know?
If you were in survival mode, would you?
I'd have to.
If that was the only way to stay alive, I believe I would.
You drink your own, and then you eat your own. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I mean... You know,
would you cut off your own leg and eat it though?
I feel like no, that wouldn't help.
But if you were by yourself,
you couldn't. That would bleed. I think you'd kill yourself.
Carterize it, all right, Carter.
I mean, I do not believe I have the information necessary to perform that operation correctly. Right. Like in 127 hours, I was like, no, I would clearly just bled out in that canyon. All right, let's go from that to Roger Goodell. Holy smokes, he has thoughts. Let's go to cut number three right here. This is Roger Goodell talking about the potential suspension for Deshaun Watson.
We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt were really important for us to address.
Violations were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. This is the part that always interests me. I get it. Like, the NFL Players Association has a job that they have to do, and their job is to defend the players. I always think it's an awkward situation to be put in when even the person who did the judging said there are three accounts of what the NFL qualifies as sexual assault, and the commissioner comes out and says it was predatory behavior. And you, as the NFLPA, if the appeal goes to a year, have to be like, it's not fair. Like, that's a weird spot to have to be in for somebody who, like, now multiple spots have said, like, per the information we've gotten, this is what it was.
Yeah, lawyers do that all the time, right?
Absolutely.
Like, so they don't care about that.
I would have a really
interesting different things, though, is the Players Association for, like, Trevor Bauer did not protect him at all. They're like, no, we are going with the 2-year ban, and then we'll see if we want to let you back into the game. And the MLB Players Association, which is much stronger than the NFLPA, was like, yeah, we're not protecting this dude. So I just wonder, in this Deshaun Watson thing, recently we've had a Players Association way stronger than the NFL say, you know what, we're not protecting this guy. We don't like what he did criminally, Trevor Bauer did not get charged with anything. Yeah. They didn't have to go to court, yeah. but they're just like, we're not protecting this. So it's going to be interesting with Deshaun Watson, as recently in Major League Baseball, we had a similar situation where the Players Association said, we're not protecting you.
And maybe the slight distinction here is, I don't think baseball has been in the dispute that the PA has been in with the NFL, which is very recently they were in a dispute when it came to discipline with the NFL, which is why we have this new system of discipline the NFL has here. So I imagine the PA is probably in this position where they were like, we just fought for the system. We can't go and undercut it this soon into that
fight. That is an interesting point because, like, the NFL is in a tough spot is, all right, we'll give you your autonomy. And then the first, like, marquee case that takes place, it didn't play out the way they wanted it to. And they're like, you know what? I changed my mind. But, like, I get why they're doing it, but because they did not like the outcome. But that also, to Reggie's point, does not fit the idea of the rule that they put in place. So I don't know. I thought we were done with this. We're not. And I still remain very, unfortunately, fascinated by what's going
to
happen.
Do you think the NFL looks at this as like, hey, this is our opportunity to be very transparent. So let's act like we're being transparent rather than sweeping things under the rug and hiding them as much as possible. Let's act as if we're transparent on this. Because this isn't good that this is dragging out for them. No. Or is it? Is it very similar to what Jerry's like, hey, as long as they're talking about us...
I don't know about this situation that they want this being talked about a lot.
Okay.
But I hear you. It's interesting. I was listening to Broadus and Gavin talk about this yesterday, and I really kind of like what they said in this situation is, you know, what's interesting is they hold the players to this standard, yet Daniel Snyder, yet maybe even what happened with the Cowboys organization.
Jim Irsay,
right? I mean, the owners can do whatever they want 100%. To women, to the American people, to the fan base. And it's like Roger Goodell, because he doesn't really care about that because he's representing the owners. He's like, you guys can do whatever you want to women, to the public, to your fan base, to the Shield. We will not punish you at all.
The Jim Irsay one, I still don't understand that. Is they were like, all right, you have drugs in your car that aren't yours, as well as a bag full of money, and then other prescriptions that have no name on them anymore. And they're like, what can you do? And like, I'm with you on that. That boggles the mind as well.
Because shouldn't the Cowboys, the Commanders, a long time ago, and I say a long time ago, a few years ago, the Colts, have horrible sanctions on them, or kind of the George Steinbrenner thing, if you're watching Jeter, like, maybe Jerry Jones shouldn't be the owner of the team, and his family shouldn't be part of this team for a couple years. Maybe Daniel Snyder should be kicked out of the NFL, but yet they're like, dude, keep doing what you're doing. We love you.
And what did they do to Snyder? They were like, you can't be in charge anymore, and it's his wife.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, you way to really show him that. Hey, I wanted to give you a positive story. Want a positive story?
Go.
Oh, man. Come on, Corey.
Yes, please.
All right. I'm going to try to cheer you up.
Here we go.
Did you see what happened with the young Arizona Cardinals fan and Kyler Murray?
No.
I did not.
All right. There's this Arizona Cardinals fan. I thought about asking you for the audio, but it's just the kid. He's really upset and crying, and I don't know if that would have, like, been super helpful. Is he's at Cardinals practice, and he carries like this jersey with him everywhere and a Sharpie that he's gotten several Arizona Cardinals players to autograph. And either he lost it or someone took it from him. Like, I don't know how exactly that played out. But the point is, he's a kid and it's gone. And he's like really, really upset. And his mom, you know, this part's always kind of dicey, but I believe it is his mom or somebody that is videotaping him. He is just inconsolable. Oh, he is upset. And it looked like he had like about 8 to 10 signatures on there. So his mom tweeted out, here's a picture of the jersey. He's worked for 2 years to get these autographs. And like word spreads. Kyler Murray gets tagged in it because it's a Kyler Murray jersey with the 8 to 10 signatures. And so like maybe a day, not that long, passes. And Kyler Murray tweets them back, jersey on the way, bro. It has what appears to be every signature on the team on it, and it's an awesome, like, black variant Kyler Murray jersey.
That is awesome.
And
that is awesome.
And he tweeted him with "Jersey on the way, bro."
I like that, man. That's really cool.
So
good job, Kyler. Like, all the negative press you've been getting lately, you used your opportunity to get some positive press.
Absolutely.
He was always that kind of kid at Allen High School, from what I was told.
I mean, I know many, many positive things at Allen. I can't speak for everyone's experiences with him, but I never had a problem with him, and I know a lot of positive things from high school. So congratulations. Well done, Kyler Murray. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, if the Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl this season, who would you root for to win it all? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.